Well, today, let's look at a passage of scripture from Colossians. Colossians, chapter 1. In chapter 1 of Colossians, Paul is writing. He's writing from prison. And he's sending a letter through Epaphras, who is somebody who's ministering in his behalf there in Colossae. And he's hearing from Epaphras that the Colossian church is growing. They've come to faith and they're new babes in Christ. But he's just wanting to encourage them. He's wanting to strengthen them. And so he gives these words today, starting in verse 9. He says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of all that God was doing there, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Increasing the knowledge. They had knowledge of God, praying that they'll increase in that knowledge. "Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." And just as I was talking to the children there, the greatest transition that we can have in our life is found there in verse 13. He, the Father God, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. We know we have transitioned from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Shirley, I love your, I'll always know Shirley as the hallelujah lady. And may that just be a continual praise upon our lips here. You won't have to remember what I teach on today because we are all in transition. All of us every day are in transition and we're going to throughout all of life. I can't tell you how many people have come to me over the past several weeks and with either said with curiosity or concern or encouragement or excitement or sadness and grief, I hear you're retiring. And I have to correct them and say, no, I'm not retiring. I'm transitioning. And transitioning from a position of a pastor of Liberty Life Center Church to the role and ministry that is yet before me. But neither does anyone here, none of us who is called of God, who identifies themselves as Christian, you don't retire. You don't retire. You're called. You're chosen. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, or a holy people, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's called you out of darkness. He brought you into his light. He didn't call us to proclaim his praise until we draw Social Security or until, you know, we have sufficient income, no longer need to work. Our calling has nothing to do with our occupations on this earth. We never retire. We never retire from proclaiming the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his light. I'm not retiring, but I'm certainly transitioning. And in transitioning, I'm believing and I'm praying there's also going to be a refiring. That's what Tom Stammen, you know, he's always saying, you know, no, you don't retire. You get refired. And I pray that that's part of this transition. And all of us, though, are transitioning multiple times throughout our life from birth to death. We're in ongoing physical transition in our dash of time from birth. I mean, birth itself is a transition. You transition out of a womb into the fullness of life. That's a transition itself. That just starts there. And we do that through from birth to the grave. I was a baby. I got some baby pictures. I transitioned to a toddler. It's been interesting. That's my own grandchildren, you know. You know, our youngest grandchild, Dean, he just moved from a little baby that crawled around. He started walking. Now he's just walking everywhere. Now he's a toddler. No longer a baby anymore. And his older brother, you know, he'll transition to that little boy, that little young boy, you know. If we transition, I was a toddler, then a child, then a teenager, and then a young adult, and then a married adult. And now I'm a senior adult. But somewhere, and I don't know when, there's going to be another transition. Transition in the physical. Transition from this old, decaying body to a resurrected, glorified body. We're all going to transition. We're all going to transition from this finite and this flawed to the eternal and the perfect. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But until then, and while we are here, we're forced to physically transition. You can fight it. You can try and do everything you can to not make that transition. You can go through all your makeovers and lifting things up and whatever. It ain't going to work eventually. It's all coming down. You can fight it or you can embrace it. And you can learn to grow and give thanks for whatever you are gaining in that particular time in your relationship with the Lord in these days. We often want to look back and we want to grieve. I was driving by Sacred Heart School the other day, and all these little kids, I imagine they was like first grade, and they had all their red and black uniforms on, and they had little backpacks on, and I imagine in those backpacks were crayons and pencils and little writing tablets, and I got thinking about, you know, I wanted to see myself as that little first grader. I remember I had this big chief tablet. I don't think they make those anymore because they're racist or something. But you know, remember, I had the big chief tablet. Yeah, all right, yeah. So you know, I look back at those kids, you know, and I see them just not a care in the world, you know, laughing and enjoying things, transition. But we can't go back. We can't go back. It's all that's left of life is what we have to give thanks for. We have to move with those meaningful experiences of the past we rejoice in, but must embrace the transition you are in and seek the Lord's plan and purpose for you in this moment. Transition. We're all in transition. We transition in places we have lived. Many of you have lived probably multiple places, some maybe just one or two. Some have moved more and less, but pretty sure everyone has had to move sometime in their life. I grew up in Indian Grove, Missouri. I was there for 28 years of my life and the same place, and well, I moved to another house, but down the road when I got married, but we really right there at Indian Grove, and then we moved to Wilmore, Kentucky, and we were there for 5 years, moved 3 times in those 5 years in that little town, to Buckland, Missouri, where we was there for 7 years, and then to Smithton, Missouri, where we was there for 10, and then we moved here to Sedalia, and we've been here 23 years. And now we're making this full circle, and now we're kind of partially moving back to Indian Grove. Isn't that interesting? It's a transition. Sometimes a full circle of transitions. Transition in education status. You don't go from kindergarten to college to a college degree without some transition. Transition in career. You've had different jobs. You moved from one job to another. Different people you've met. There's different there's transition in your family status. It went maybe from single to married, then married with children, and then the empty nest. That's a transition. And then comes the grandkids. All of those are transitions. Transition in spiritual identity. Come on now, this is a good one. We transition from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Born again. Born again, and always, always, even now, transitioning what? From glory to glory to glory. That's God's calling upon our life. And all these transitions, it's not always pleasant, but transition is necessary to take you from where you are to where the Lord wants you to be. Amen. But transition and change is not always easy for us, especially if it's a transition we didn't want. You know, some transitions we want. You know, I want to get on. But some transitions, we don't want to. He didn't want to go to high school. I'm just not. I just want to stay here. we don't like to transition sometimes because transition takes us out of our element, takes us out of our comfort zone, out of where we're secure, out of where we know what's going on. We can handle it. But then we got to transition something. We don't know what's going to go happen. We don't have any control over things. It's like it's so unpredictable. It's not solid. Sometimes you don't know what the next day will bring. Someone has called this uncertainty and difficulty as the trauma of the traveler who dares to transition. The trauma of the traveler who dares to transition. You can't stay in sixth grade and expect to graduate from high school. You can't expect to be president of a company if you cling to just being the custodian. And you can't expect to go from glory to glory in your spiritual journey until you take the next step of faith to where God is saying go. Abram never would have became Abraham without transition. Abraham, the father of faith, only until he heeded the word of the Lord. Think about the transition he had to make. Think about it. There in Genesis 12, it says, this was the Lord coming to him. It says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. He doesn't even tell him where he's going. He says, I'll show you. Just leave and then I'll show you. Well, I'd want to know all the specifics first. But that was a transition. And I'm going to make you a great nation. I'll bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And Abraham made that transition, and it changed his destiny. Even though it was very difficult, a very hard transition. Jesus called a man. You know, the Lord's always calling us for transition. Stop doing what's right. Stop doing what's wrong. Learn to do what's right. That's a transition. Stopping with all the things of the past, the sin, and the things that were in darkness. Now start learning to do right. Stop doing wrong. Transition your day. You planned this. Now I want you to do this, says the Lord. There's transitions. The Lord has calling on our life. You know, I know what you got planned today, but I want you to do this instead. It's calling us to transition. Sometimes a major transition calls us to the mission field. Calls us to the mission field. Calls us into ministry. Calls us to radical following. Jesus made such a request of the one there in Matthew 19. He wasn't ready for that transition. The rich young ruler. Jesus said, go. Sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Come, follow me. But such a transition, that was just too great of a price for this man. The verse says, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. I remember a similar call upon my life in 1983, in a very clear voice as I slept through the night. The Lord spoke and says, Gary, sell everything you have and follow me. Now, I certainly didn't have great wealth, but I was very rooted and grounded in the farm and in the country. And that was my lifelong desire. It's my occupation. I was going to be the greatest farmer in the region. But the Lord had another call. Yeah. Sell everything you have and follow me. But that morning, the biggest transition of my life, our life, began. Not knowing what was ahead, we just stepped out. And from that time, there's been transformation. A lot of transformation over and over again. And we've been part of that transformation, not only for ourselves, but also seeing the transformation and so many others going from glory to glory because of that time of stepping up. Sometimes we choose transition, and sometimes life forces transition. Sometimes God brings us through transition to bring us to transformation. But that will depend. The transformation will depend on how you respond to the transition. Just how or what we transition depends on how we respond and adapt to what to when God or life requires us to move from one state of being to another. Success or failure in life is often determined by how we handle the transitions of life. This is true individually, it's true for an organization, it's true for a church body, and it's true for business and as government. Government's in transition right now. I don't think it's handling it very well. But let me, you know, success or failure, how we respond to transition. Let me illustrate. You know, there's something in life that we call the midlife crisis, where people realize, they suddenly have this revelation, hey man, the candle's getting shorter here. You know, and so their body is changing with relentless passage of time. And some people at this critical time in life, they make decisions. They're trying to restore their youthfulness, or and in the decisions that they begin to make, they destroy their finances, they destroy relationship, they destroy their families. In many ways, they destroy their lives. There's another transition where response is often not the best, and that's when young people come of age, coming to a recognition, at least in their own eyes of seeing things, you know, hey, this is my life, and I can do what I want now. I got freedom. Hey, we've all been there, all of you over, you know, over 20, over 16. You get this place, you know, hey, out of high school, I'm free now. I can do what I want. And in that transition, decisions that are made, how you're responding to that, like a lot of foolish choices can be made that will affect your life for a very long time. It might be, you know, the choices of drug use or sex outside of marriage leads to unwanted pregnancies. Might be those adventures you go on, you know, just throwing yourself at, it can lead to injury and of self and others. Spending monies and borrowing that put you in financial bondage for many, many years. All those, you had this freedom in transition that was, you're transitioning, but you made poor responses to it. It had a major effect upon your life. I believe transition can bring transformation that's good, or it can be that which is destructive, depending on how the individual, the group, or a church responds to it and the choices they make. I believe Liberty Life is destined for transformation, for the good, for good, because you've already responded to a transition you know that's taking place with prayer and with unity and with steadfastness in the Word and in listening to the Holy Spirit. But transition is often not easy. Even as blessings result from the process, there is this period of uncertainty. It's a little shaky. It's uncomfortable. Even strains of difficulty. A couple of examples. In the book of Joshua, the Israelites are transitioning. They're transitioning from the wilderness to the promised land. And they've been in the wilderness now for 40 years. This is the only way of life that they have known. They have become comfortable in that place and that way of life in many ways. God was feeding them manna every day. He was providing a path for them, what to do, when to do it, giving them shelter, giving them comfort with the cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. He was saving them from all of their enemies. Everything was being done supernaturally. But now is a time for transition. It's a time to leave the wilderness. Now they're going to leave this wandering in the wilderness and making a home in the promised land. And they are about to be transformed from wanderers without a home to a nation, a land of their own. The blessing was at hand, but the transition was not going to be easy. It was not going to be comfortable or without struggle. And so when they began this transition, the very first thing that happened in this transition is the manna stopped coming. The free food stopped. The free food stopped. Joshua 5:12, and the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten some of the produce of the land. So that the sons of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate some of the yield of the land of Canaan during that year. They say, whoa, this is different. This is not what I have always done. You mean we have to go out and get our food? We have to grow our food? I mean, hey, where's the manna? I'm sure many of them went out that next day and they're looking around. What am I going to do? That day, that transition, it stopped. That wasn't comfortable. What else stopped? The cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, the manifest presence, a visible manifest presence of God ceased that day, or at that time. That which was leading them and guiding them and protecting them. And after they left the wilderness, there's no mention any longer of the pillar of fire. They weren't led over the Jordan by the cloud. They were now led over the Jordan by the ark that went before them. See, there was the transition of the visible token of the pillar and the fire to the ark of the covenant. God's presence, guidance, and protection remained, but there was a transformation. They were transformed to walk more by faith than by sight. Transition was bringing transformation. The other thing that was occurring in this transition was that they no longer were able to depend on God to keep them safe. Now they were going to have to go in and take the land. They were going to have to face the giants. They were going to have to overcome, not by their might, of course, but by the power of God who would be with them and go before them. But that power would only be released as they, in faith, were obedient to the word of the Lord. Unlike in the wilderness, they would no longer visibly see God with them. They had to trust He was with them. And they were to take courage. And that is why, over and over again, as they begin this transition, God began to, you know, speak to them this way, this command, be strong. Be of good courage. Do not fear, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you, nor forsake you. He, over and over, was telling them, have hope, have faith, believe that's true. You're no longer going to see me in the pillar. You're no longer going to see me in the cloud. But you can know that I am with you. I'm going before you. And whatever I tell you to do, you will accomplish if you will continue to obey my commands. The Lord was using transition to teach them that although the Lord changes not, the way He reveals Himself will change. He can show Himself visibly, or He can just give them assurance of His presence in other ways through faith and trust. God changed and transitioned the way He chose to reveal Himself to the children of Israel. And a lot of the Israelites were probably very troubled by that, probably thought that God had left them. They probably kept looking for God to reveal Himself in the old familiar way, but He never went back to doing things that way. God is the God of the new thing. God's a God of a new thing. And our walk with Him continually brings new revelation. The way a parent assures us and relates to us changes over time. You know, once, you know, it's mother, father just watching over the child, making sure they're safe. And they get a little older, get a little more freedom. And there's a little bit of, there's changes going place, taking place all the time, maturing that child to an adult. Elijah the prophet wisely teaches us the way to handle transition in this listening for God. In the cave on the run from Jezebel. And there in 1 Kings chapter 19, you know, God was not in the fire. God was not in the mighty blowing wind. God was not on the ground shaking. But God was where? Still small voice. Elijah was being taught that the whispers of God are just as true and just as powerful as when He shouts like a hurricane. He's the same God, but He manifests Himself. He speaks in so many different ways. This was a lesson for us too. The Bible says that, you know, we're to learn from these experiences of whether it's going through the wilderness to the promised land of the Israelites, whether it's listening to how God dealt with Elijah. We're to learn from that because that's how God deals with us too. We learn from these things. That's why it says in Romans 15:4, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Transition's not always comfortable, is it? Think about your own journey of faith. For us who are born again, who have been delivered from the power of darkness and conveyed into the kingdom of light, that's a major transition, isn't it? Yes. Out of darkness into His light. And coming into light, transformation continues. And as that light continues to transform us, it makes us sometimes make it very difficult living in this world. Are you keeping, you know, as you are keeping transitioning, as you keep transitioning from this secular worldview to a biblical worldview, you're going to face a lot of opposition. Mm-hmm. The things that used to entertain you now offend you. Yeah. The things that used to draw you now appall you. The people you once looked up to because of their popularity, you're not even interested in. Mm-hmm. You are in transition. You once read the Word of God because you had to, and, you know, it'd only be maybe a sentence or two or a verse when you really needed something. But now, you're in transition. Now the Word of God, you have to have it. Man, you hunger and thirst for it. You know, it is your life. It is your lifeline. It is what gives you hope each day. You cannot live without it. There's a transition that takes place. And the world might have all kinds of different opinions of you, but it doesn't matter. Because you know who you are, and you know the Lord who is with you. You're in transition. you are in transition as you become a friend of God. And as you become a friend of God, you become more and more uncomfortable in this world. You become more and more an enemy of the world. And it is not comfortable. But Christ is being formed in you. Christ is being formed in you. And all along this journey of faith, you're in transition. Sometimes we know we need to transition because we know it's time to move. We know it's time to move. We got to transition to step out into a new calling or a new leading in our life, like a baby. After 9 months in the womb, there is a birth, a transition from a womb that can no longer hold them. That place of security, that place of comfort, everything being provided for them, it's now too, they've grown, it's too restrictive. It's too confining. They're growing out of it. That's who you were in that womb. There comes a time, though, where you got to move. Something's got to give here. And there is this, it's there. You are due for something different, a greater awareness of life. And through labor and in pain and difficulty and messiness, you transition from receiving oxygen through the connection with your mother to now taking your first breath on your own, and your world has just increased a millionfold. Mm-hmm. Transition. We're all in transition. And often we don't ask for transition. I didn't want that change. But it comes anyway. Transition has been happening here at Liberty Life over the past year, and it's about to go into double time. But my dear people, whom I love, this transition is leading to a greater transformation. It's leading to a greater presence, a greater glory, a greater maturing of saints. It is necessary to give birth to the new thing that God is about to do at Liberty Life. It's the new thing that God wants to reveal, not only in the church body, but in each of you individually as well. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to continue this message on transition. But next week, our pastoral candidate, Jeff Lockington, will share. And I'm sure you're going to hear a perspective of transition in his message also. So let us continue to be faithful in prayer. Let us continue to be faithful as we listen for and obey the voice of the Lord, however he chooses to speak to us in these incredibly exciting times. Our regional director of Open Bible will also be here next week, Bruce Fadenhauer. And we'll have opportunity to speak with you as well. And he'll be at the Saturday event also. So to the invitation, our worship team will come on up and let's just worship the Lord here. I'm going to just give an invitation that some of you are in transition in your life. And it's not an easy transition for you. I don't know. It might be a place where maybe you're moving from a job or you're looking for a job. You're needing to transition to the workplace. Might be a transition that's taking place in your family, a transition in just in your life that you're just struggling with. And I just ask that, you know, our ministry team will be up here today just to pray with any who just want to find some strength and comfort and encouragement in these days of transition. If there's anyone here today also, you need to transition out of the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You recognize that kingdom of darkness, it isn't very good for you. God has something so much more. And he just says, you know, come to me, all you labor and heavy laden. Come to me. My burden is easy. My yoke is light. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. He just wants, you know, it's as simple as, Lord, I believe. I believe you are my Savior. You are my Lord. I believe that when you went to that cross, you took upon yourself all of my sin and all those things that separates me from Father God. You took it on yourself, and you gave to me your righteousness if I would receive it and accept it as a free gift. That's grace. That's His mercy. That's His love for you. And I'll guarantee this, as I've seen it over and over in my life, even from that day as a teenager, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. That's the best transition ever made. Changes your life. Fills you with goodness, fills you with hope, fills you with love, gives you eternal life. So today, if anyone needs prayer for any reason, maybe you're just scared. You're in a scary place. God, you just need to pray for against that fear, those doubts, that anxiety, that stress, that worry. And say, Lord, thank you for your presence here today. Come, Lord, fill me with that overflowing assurance that I need right now. Let's stand to our feet. And if our ministry team can come as we close out our service today, give an opportunity for prayer.